Hello, and welcome to the Humble Brag Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Mandel. And today I'm going to be talking about intermittent fasting and intuitive eating. How those two came together in my mind, I have no clue, but I actually think they kind of work really well together. Anything within the genre of food, body weight, or diet is such an overused topic. It's such an abused topic that people hate it, myself included. Anything within the health, food, eating, body weight genre is such an abused topic, and people are quite disgusted by it, bored of it. It's annoying, right? There's so many commercials out there for diets and stuff, and our entire life and marketing is influenced around food and eating right and all that stuff. So like, what is my interest in it? And I find that actually pretty fascinating. The fact that it's such an annoying topic and that eventually almost every healthy, maturing adult gets into it, I find that to be very fascinating. How can it be such a boring topic, a topic that people feel like is not relevant to them and then becomes relevant? So I think exploring that a little bit before we go into exactly what intermittent fasting and intuitive eating are, I think it's important to understand why we should even care about these topics. And that is, you know, health, eating, food, so on and so forth. So growing up, I'm your average, I guess you could say, skinny kid. And even going into teenagehood and young adulthood, you have this feeling like I could eat whatever I want. I don't get fat. You know what I mean? Good digestive system. What you put in goes out, and you know, really blessed with a good body, and I have been working out since, you know, I'm a teenager, so I had basic concepts of being healthy, being fit. I knew the importance, and I always upkept it to a certain degree. So I am that average guy who felt like, you know, what do I know about diets? What do I care about diets? It's all bullshit. It's all a scam. So on and so forth. Then what happens is, as it happens to everyone, and this is essentially why you want to make this more of a priority early on, is because you start reaching your mid-20s. For some it's a little later, for some it's a little earlier, but you start reaching a certain age and your metabolism slows down, and all of a sudden you can't eat what you want. And you're not that skinny guy. Before you know it, you got a little bachel going, you know what I'm saying, motherfucker? You got a belly. And that's essentially what was happening with me. You know, I was 180 pounds and then 190 and then 200 and then 210 and then getting close to 215. For somebody my height, which is about 5'9", 5'10", I shouldn't be at 215. Maybe with all my muscle, maybe 185, it might be a nice sweet spot, but 210, that's like 30 pounds overweight. And where is all of that weight? That weight is in the gut. Drinking beer, eating whatever I want, whenever I want, so on and so forth. So really quickly, and that happens, I guess you could say, in the background, and that happens to many, many people. Again, you're not the guy that's thinking about food because that's just a non-topic to you, and that was a non-topic to me. So you're just going about your day, achieving your goals, focusing on whatever it is that you're focusing on, and in the background, you're slowly gaining weight. Next thing you know, you're looking down, you're like, well, I ain't happy. And at that age, 25, 26, 27, or if you get it when you're 30 or 35, it's not a walk in the park to cut it down. I think when we're younger, I know for myself, when I was younger, it was easier to, you know, just, you could put up 10, 15 pounds and take it off really quickly, very easily. It was a non-topic, a non-issue. As you start reaching certain ages, that ability to do so really, really drastically declines. So all of a sudden, you're a person who cares about health and well-being and happiness, and you're looking at yourself and you're not very happy, and your face is filling up and your stomach's filling up and you have love handles, and all of a sudden you just start really going in every fucking direction. And that's when you start thinking to yourself, holy shit, now I'm the guy having those conversations about food, about eating, about rationing, about plate size, about everything to do with what I eat, when I eat, how I eat. All of a sudden, you became that person. And that's essentially what took place by me. So I know of this phenomenon personally. I also just observe, you know, the human behavioral aspect of it, how you have the types who try to ignore the topic, like myself, subconsciously. You have the types who deliberately try to ignore the topic because they don't want to face the reality of their health situation. So it's a really interesting topic, despite being the most annoying and most chewed over topic in the world. That's a funny contrast. The reason it becomes an interesting topic is because it becomes relevant to pretty much everyone in this world. That's not to say everyone, right? There's always an exception. There are these types of people who they just stay very skinny and bony their entire life, and it really doesn't matter what they eat. But that's a rare exception. Most people at a certain age, when their body changes, will start putting on the weight if they're not careful. So then if you start thinking about what it is that you're eating and how it is that you're feeling and how your body's reacting to all of that, you inevitably end up in the diet realm. And diets, everybody feels differently about diets, right? Those who have dieted, lost weight, and swear by it, they're all for it. And they're going to tell you, you know, it's the philosophy and your mindset. It has a ton to do with mindset behind it, just like therapy, right? You have the people who bash therapy. Therapy doesn't work. Therapy makes it worse. Therapy this, therapy that. And then you have the people who swear by therapy because therapy has helped them. And so you always have these opposites. And within diets, you have the same thing. And you have those who swear by diets, and they say diets is the shit, and it could work. You have to have the right mindset. You have to follow it. You have to care about your health. You have to blah, 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 and it'll work. And then you have those who say pretty much it's a scam. I personally think the marketing side of the diet industry is scammy, similar to the way that make money fast from at home, right? All of those types of marketing techniques are scammy. It doesn't mean that you can't make money from home or some of these programs don't work, so on and so forth. But the industry as a whole has a very, very bad negative connotation to it. And it's the same thing with diets. Are there diets that work if you really follow them, so on and so forth? Yeah. But the science behind it is not rock solid. And hence it's very scammy. And the fact that it's so prevalent and pushed upon, it's so out there, it's so common, there's so much of it in the marketing world, again, makes it a very scammy type of thing. So I am one of the ones who believe that diets are essentially a scam for, I guess you could say, 90%+ of the population. Similar to the way, because again, not that it doesn't work, it's a scam because you'll never pull through with it. And yet it's promoted like it's an everyday activity for every person. Similar to the way that, you know, they have these TV commercials where they're selling a Bowflex machine, right? We know that most people who are going to buy it, it's going to end up in the basement. You're never going to use it because buying the Bowflex machine doesn't give you the motivation to go work out. And if you have the motivation to work out, you don't need the Bowflex machine. You could go run on the street. So in that sense, that the marketing side of diets, I think, is a complete scam. But nonetheless, back up, you know, we're talking about you getting older, realizing that you have to tackle your health. So forcing the whole health topic to become an interesting topic to you, a topic of interest to you, and you have to decide or start dissecting all of this information. And what happens is, naturally, you'll start reacting to the stuff that's, you know, it's coming into your life. So if you're around people who have done diets and they convince you, you might try some diets. If you're around people who work out all day, hoorah, you know, pumped up, you'll try to go to gym and you're going to try to, humans are like penguins. We're sheeple. We follow the lead. So whatever the people, the peers around us are doing, that's what you're going to end up basically going to. That's what you're going to end up doing because that's what you're going to be comfortable with. But then you might find out after doing that, pursuing some of these avenues, that it doesn't work, or it doesn't work for you. right? So you might try a diet and say it doesn't work. You might try running every day and then lose your motivation and say, you know, I can't do cardio every day, so on and so forth. So you'll find yourself 1, 2, 3, 4 years into some pattern of behavior and say, this is not for me. This is where intuitive eating and intermittent fasting come in. They're both, I think, very like groundbreaking and very modern. Modern in the sense that in every generation, we react differently to different activities. And certain activities get bored and old to us. And we need new versions of the same activities. So whether it's dieting or anything in this world, the traditional way to tackle it might become like a boring way, and we need something to stimulate us in a different way, in a way that speaks to us really well. So I think intermittent fasting and intuitive eating is very modern, and that's not to say that in 100 years from now it'll be just another boring technique to try to maintain your health, your body health. But right now I think it's very poppy. It's buzzing. It's in the limelight, and I think it's only going to grow tremendously in the coming years, and then it'll probably level out like everything else in that industry. So I want to get into this. Let's get into this. Before I share my experience with intermittent fasting and intuitive eating, I'm just going to read a description right off of line. I'm looking at healthline.com. It's a pretty reputable website for information regarding health. So I'm going to read to you how they describe intuitive eating, and then I'll read to you how they describe intermittent fasting. And then we'll go into some more of my personal thoughts about it. So they're writing here, for the basics of intuitive eating, they say intuitive eating is an eating style that promotes a healthy attitude toward food and body image. The idea is that you should eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. Right? Simple. Though this should be an intuitive process, for many people it's not. Agree? Trusting diet books and so-called experts about what, when, and how to eat can lead you away from trusting your body and its intuition. To eat intuitively, you may need to relearn how to trust your body. To do that, you need to distinguish between physical and emotional hunger. Physical hunger. This biological urge tells you to replenish nutrients. It builds gradually and has different signals, such as a growling stomach, fatigue, or irritability. It's satisfied when you eat any food. And then emotional hunger, this is driven by emotional need. Sadness, loneliness, and boredom are some of the feelings that create cravings for food, often comfort foods. Eating then causes guilt and self-hatred. Nasty cycle. In summary, intuitive eating is based on physical hunger rather than prescriptions from diet books and experts. Eating should satisfy physical hunger without causing guilt. Okay, so I actually think just from what they're writing here, from the underlying side of it, the fundamental philosophy behind it, I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think any philosophy that takes us back to the core, to the foundation, to the fundamentals. And what do I mean when I say fundamentals? I mean, it brings us back to the nature part, the very, very raw part of us, which is that our body, we have an animal body, and it has evolved over time. And when you have a philosophy that essentially looks into that or tries to take out messages from that process to explain a phenomenon, I think there's a lot of truth in that. So if we've evolved this far with our bodies looking the way that it looks, there must be an innate process within our body, within the evolution of the way that we evolved, that knows how to deal with food, or essentially should know how to deal with food. Our brains and all influence aside, it should know how to deal with food. And if you could recognize and agree with that notion, then you have to ask yourself, where did we go astray, or where do we go astray? And they're essentially telling you already where you go astray, and I think that's true as well. The way that we eat, the way that we react to food, the entire way that we think about diets, food, and eating, and health, and well-being, is influenced by advertisement, media, books, and all these experts on these topics. So I think there's a very deep underlying truth to the philosophy, the core philosophy behind intuitive eating. Now let's move to what intermittent fasting is. What is intermittent fasting? Intermittent fasting is an eating pattern where you cycle between periods of eating and fasting. It does not say anything about which foods to eat, but rather when you should eat them. There are several different intermittent fasting methods, all of which split the day or week into eating periods and fasting periods. Most people already fast every day when they sleep. Intermittent fasting can be as simple as extending that fast a little longer. You can do this by skipping breakfast, eating your first meal at noon, and your last meal at 8 p.m. Then, you're technically fasting for 16 hours every day and restricting your eating to an 8-hour window. This is the most popular form of intermittent fasting, known as the 16-8 method. Despite what you may think, intermittent fasting is actually fairly easy to do. Many people report feeling better and having more energy during a fast. Hunger is usually not that big of an issue, although it can be a problem in the beginning while your body is getting used to not eating for extended periods of time. No food is allowed during the fasting period, but you can drink water, coffee, tea, and other non-caloric beverages. Some forms, caloric, never seen that word. I guess it refers to calorie-based beverages. Some forms of intermittent fasting allow small amounts of low-calorie foods during the fasting period. Taking supplements is generally allowed while fasting, as long as there are no calories in them. Bottom line, intermittent fasting, otherwise known as IF, is an eating pattern where you cycle between periods of eating and fasting. It is a very popular health and fitness trend with research to back it up. So I think this description is a bit long, and they give a lot of examples. I think intermittent fasting, just for a beginner, is a very simple concept, and it's what they said in the beginning. It's essentially, you know, if you could think of your sleep as a fasting period, because you do not eat when you sleep, that is what intermittent fasting is. There are periods when you eat, and there are periods when you fast. When you sleep, you fast. And then you could just extend that. And that's like just the most bare basic part of it. You sleep for 8 hours. Okay, so maybe you don't eat 4 hours before you go to sleep and 4 hours after you wake up. That's 16 hours of not eating and only 8 hours of eating. Pretty good. That's like the basics where most people start. Now, what those hours are that they skip is up to each person. There's no telling. Everybody's different. But that is essentially where most people start, 16-8. In the beginning, it's actually quite a transition for a couple days, I mean, in the beginning. But you get used to that very quickly, and then you could start dialing back even more. So it's actually a very simple concept. You're allowed to drink anything that doesn't have flavor or calorie. I wouldn't say flavor. There are exceptions. That happens to be the flavor. Let me just preface by saying that I'm not going to get into the science behind this. There are books out there. Me and my wife have a book on intermittent fasting. It goes to all the science behind it. I care less about the science of a phenomenon and more about the human aspect, the way that it makes you feel, the way that you react to it. Because while science may be technical and beautiful for a lot of people, and it gives us the knowledge and information that we have about things, on a practical level, on doing it day to day, I care less about what the scientists say about it and more about how it makes me feel today when I'm doing it. So I'm not going to get into the science behind it. I'm just going to give you a couple little tidbits of information that we got out of the book. And one of them is that you are supposed to stay away from flavored stuff. See, they described it here as staying away from calorie-based stuff. They actually go into the notion of flavor, which sparks insulin, I believe, is a huge part of it. So you're supposed to stay away from flavors during the hours that you fast. So for example, I drink a lot of water, seltzer, stuff without flavor. Now, if you're a big coffee person, they say you could drink black coffee, even when you're fasting, but no milk, no sugar, and then certain teas. But outside of that realm, I would just say that for somebody who's interested in maybe trying it, just think of it as you cannot eat during the hours that you fast, and you cannot drink anything with flavor. That's the simplest way to do it. If you have to drink a black coffee, go for it. But if you follow that, you know, that principle, you can't go wrong with it. If you really care about all the science behind it and the exact things what you can and cannot do, or the patterns in which you should do it, you'll have to like buy a book or listen to audio about it. So what's really interesting, and I'm seeing a certain correlation here between intermittent fasting and intuitive eating. One of the issues that I had with intuitive eating when I've learned about it, and I think it's a phenomenal practice, is that, you know, you're essentially fighting the way that we have been conditioned, nurture, the way we were nurtured, head on. And it creates a difficulty. We were nurtured the way we were brought up in our modern society. It's not like back in the day, thousands of years ago, where food is scarce. You live in a little hut and you have your bread and your little food each day. Monkey see, monkey eat, bro. We have groceries stocked. We could afford food on our table, food in the cabinet. I see food, I'm hungry, boom, I eat it. And we were conditioned this way. So you have to understand that we were programmed to eat like that. We were programmed to respond to food and intake like that. Instant gratification. Intuitive eating comes and says, start listening to your body, get to know your body, get to know yourself, understand when you're hungry and when you're not, and feed into that instead of feeding into your emotions or the way that you were nurtured. And I find that to be difficult simply on the premise that monkey see, monkey eat. You know, I see some sour sticks here, some Israeli Yogueta sour sticks. It looks good, it looks appetizing, I wanna eat it. And the bottom line is, it's difficult. Can it be done? Absolutely. There are so many people who are into intuitive eating. My sister is one of them, actually, Chuppi. Maybe I'll do an episode one day really getting into the aspects of intuitive eating with her. It'd be interesting to hear her perspective of the matter. There are a lot of people who are really into it, and it really works. They find the discipline within themselves to tune into that bandwidth, if you will, and really, really communicate with their body about food. And I think that there's a beautiful aspect to it. I think for the average person, I'm just trying to be practical here, no fucking bullshit. For the average person, they're gonna struggle with that more, myself included. So, you know, not putting boundaries in, you know, just saying you have to really understand how to read your body and know your body and be intuitive and be tuned in and all those concepts. I just find it to be a little difficult. Very great idea, very difficult though for the average person. With intermittent fasting, you are putting a boundary, which makes it, I think, again, because of the way we were nurtured in our times, makes it a little bit more practical for the average person, a little bit more effective. So intuitive eating, I think, has a little bit of a part that's a little bit fantastical about it, a little bit not practical for the average person. Intermittent fasting is a little bit more practical. It's more on the discipline side. Not as bad as a diet by any means. The notion that you could eat anything alone is so attractive to so many people, myself included. One of the reasons diets suck is because you can't eat anything. You go, you know, depending on the diet, obviously there are diets now that you could eat, but this and that and the other, all these different rules. But you're going to a party, you're going here, you're going, you're out. You want to eat. There's good food. Everyone's enjoying themselves. And you can't eat. Can't eat this, can't eat that. Stay away from this, stay away from that. You know what I mean? So intermittent fasting says you could eat whatever you want. Just restrict when you eat. When I learned about that, I found that really fascinating, really interesting. I thought that could be pretty cool. For me personally, I love schedule. I love structure. Structure works really well for me. So when I learned about that and I saw that and I'm like, ooh, I'm not happy about my bachel, my stomach, my 20 pounds that I'm overweight, at least 30 pounds overweight. I'm not happy about it. A little bit of running or whatever I was doing, whatever cardio I was doing was not getting rid of it. I'm still drinking beer. I'm still eating this and that and the other. So I really was attracted to it just because of the schedule part of it. And there was two parts, the schedule and the part that it said that you could eat whatever you want. So wait a second, you're not going to restrict what I can eat. You're just restricting when I can eat. That's great because I like schedule anyway. I have no problem telling myself, okay, I'm not going to eat for those hours. And then when I could eat, I'll eat whatever I want. And so me and my wife actually were attracted by that notion. Again, because we're 20, 30-year-olds and we're not happy with the way our body feels. I'm laying in bed at 27, 28 years old, and I can't lay down because I ate 3 hamburgers a half hour before I went to bed. I can't lay down because I literally have a heart, you know, the food's coming up. So I find myself sitting up in bed. So, you know, we're watching a movie, we're watching Netflix, and I can't lay back anymore. You know how children, they could just, and then you find yourself getting older and food. And so I find myself sitting up on bed. So, you know, for an hour or two till like things calm down and I'm half tired. And then I'll like slip down into, I'm fucking 28 years old. I shouldn't be feeling stuff like that. But this is the reality. This is the reality of the way we were nurtured, the way that we eat. This is what food starts doing to pretty much everyone until it gets to the point where, you know, even the skinny guy is 20, 30 pounds overweight. So we were already feeling a certain way, obviously, which is what made us look into it and which is what attracted us to it. So we start looking into it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm ready. You know, this is already, you have to understand one thing about getting your health under control. You have to get to the point where you're sick of it. I was overweight. And when I say overweight, I wasn't fat. I had 30 or so pounds overweight. I had a belly. My face was filling up more than it should have. I said, but it doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter if you're 30 pounds overweight or if you're 200, besides for the health issues. It doesn't matter. It's when do you feel good? You don't feel good when you're 200 pounds overweight. And for a healthy person, relatively, they don't feel good when they're 30 pounds overweight. It's the same. It's the same depression. It's the same nasty feelings about yourself. And you want to, as a healthy, spiritual, happy person, walk around feeling good about your body. Your body's like a vessel. And you want to have control over it. You want it to feel good always, radiate good, healthy feelings. And it just doesn't when you don't eat right and you grow older. When you're young, you can get away with eating whatever you want. You can still radiate good shit. As you get older, absolutely not. You eat wrong input equals negative output. The output, the energy, the way that you feel, the way the shit that's radiating off of you will feel fucking nasty if the shit you're putting inside of you is not good for you and it's your body telling you. So we got into it and I was planning, okay, I forgot what month it was, but I was like, you know, I'm going to start next month. My wife started before me. And it was going well for her. And I'm like, you know what? Let me try it out. It was ready 2 weeks before the month I said I was going to start. Let me try it out. And right away, I really like kind of fell in love with it. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck waiting until that month. Let me just get into this. But my point here was that we were already sick of our eating patterns. You have to be sick of something in order to want to make a life change, right? Nobody's going to make a fucking life change 1 week into overeating. You're going to make a life change 3 years into it after you gain weight and you feel shitty for a year. So this is a big part of it. You have to get to the point where you say, you know, I'm really sick of this. I'm sick of how I feel. I'm going to make an effort. Why does this matter? Because for myself, for example, I thought about how I'm going to make life changes regarding my health and eating for a long time. So by the time I learned about intermittent fasting, I was like, oh, this is it. And I already have the motivation because I've been hyping myself up for many, many months about getting into sun. That's how I personally work. Everybody's different. Some people jump into stuff, but they also fall out of it quicker than they jumped into it. I've found with myself, I could give you another example, that if I sit and think about something that I want to change, I hype myself up to get that energy to do it. Eventually that energy comes. And when it comes, I go in all the way and it seems to stick. For example, when I was 18, I had a push-up regimen. I would do hundreds of push-ups a day. I was at the point, I was a beast, 17, 18 years old. I was doing 100 to 120, no, maybe even more. I think I got to the point where I was able to do about 150 push-ups in a set, and I was doing 3 or 4 sets a day. So that was a couple hundred push-ups a day. Granted, they weren't beautiful, perfect, extended, pause type of push-ups, but bam, I was a fucking beast. Boom, 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 boom. I would do it every day, and I did it for a year or two, maybe even longer. And then I got engaged, got married, life fell out of the routine. For the longest time, you know, I thought about it. I want to get back into it, and I let it simmer. For many years, I thought about it, and I was planning to get back into it. For years, I thought about it, and eventually I picked it back up. I think I picked it back up in 2016, which is pretty crazy to think. I think it's 2016 because we're already going on. I'm already going on 3.5 years since I picked it back up in 2016. I remember there was like a three, four year period that I had stopped it, but I knew I wanted to start again. When I picked it back up in 2016 or so, I haven't stopped until today. Thank God. So thank God for that energy. But it took a lot of years of like telling myself and hyping myself up, like there's going to come a time. Look, I fell into, for myself, what I would call a low right after I got married physically. I just didn't have the energy to go do physical type of exercises, like beast mode type of shit. I just fell into this like type of comfort zone. So in the physical realm, that's a certain low. Because when you go, if you're the type of person that goes to gym every day, and you're pumping iron for 5 years straight, and then you lose that energy to do that for 3 years, whatever life circumstances it is, and you know everything's the same maybe in your life, you're happy, you're working, you have a job, you just can't get yourself to go to gym and do what you used to do, it's a certain low in that category. So finally I had picked it back up and I've been doing it since. Now, I can't touch what I used to do. I'm 28 years old, I've been doing it since 2016 and I'm only holding now at 90 push-ups per set. Whereas when I was 17, 18, I was doing between 120 and 150. And it took me 4 years to get to 90 per set. And I do two sets a day. So I'm nowhere near the beast that I was, the agility, the lightweightness, the way that I felt, the agileness that I had when I was younger. But the point is, I picked it back up. So it's the same thing here. We're talking about body health, eating, food, all that stuff. You have to be fed up with the way that you feel in order to have that energy. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish, you know, woohoo, I'm excited. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to be the healthiest, baddest, badass out there. Okay. There are those types. The average person is not like that. And when do we learn? We learn when we're miserable. So yeah, you're not eating right. You feel shitty at night. You're 30 years old and you have complaints about the way your body feels, the way your system feels, the way you take a dump, the way you eat, the way you sleep. Okay. When it annoys you enough for you to get fed up about it, that's when you'll have the energy to make a decision. So I've been working up to this decision, and then I hear about intermittent fasting, and this is already after knowing about intuitive eating, and I tried intuitive eating. That's why I have my opinion about intuitive eating. It's my personal opinion. Obviously, people have other experiences. My personal opinion was it was just too difficult. I was tempted by everything around me. Intermittent then comes along and says, look, I could provide structure, and that's what I found fascinating about it. Now, there's a corrective measure in all of this. Intuitive eating essentially is trying to correct you. The corrective measure happens naturally when you do intermittent fasting. It corrects your appetite and it corrects, I guess what you could say, how we were screwed up growing up. So the nurture part that I was talking about earlier, the way that we were nurtured to think of food and eat food and react to food, that nurture part is not good for our health. But how do you correct that? Intermittent fasting, a byproduct of it, of doing it, is the corrective measure. Why does the corrective measure mean so much? And how does that tie into intuitive? I don't, you know, most people wouldn't think that way, but I see the correlation. If you could correct that measure through intermittent fasting, all of the sudden intuitive eating makes sense. I shouldn't say makes sense. It makes sense. The philosophy makes sense. All of the sudden intuitive eating becomes tangible for the average person. So again, we spoke, there are the types of people who could really get into intuitive eating on their own and they really tune into that. Great. There are the average person that could struggle with the fact that they see a piece of cake on Shabbos and they want to eat it. And then they see it again an hour later and they want it again. All right, so we have to be realistic with the nature of us and the way that we grew up. The corrective measure corrects that. And once you're corrected, you could actually tune in much easier to notions of intuitive eating. So it's really, really fascinating. I actually see that these work really well together, because even in intermittent fasting, once you get used to the notion that you're only eating for 8, 7, 6, 5, or 4 hours a day, yeah, people go as low as 4 or 3 hours a day. Some people go even as far as to just eat one meal a day, one big meal over the course of, let's say, an hour, and that's what they eat. There's obviously extremism in every practice. I'm not a huge fan of extremism in anything. As I said, we're going to do an episode on yin yang balance. Everything's about balance. So I think there are great tools. These are phenomenal practices and philosophies, but you have to do everything with balance. So I'm not a huge fan of going extreme, but there are people who literally get down to one meal a day, or, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours a day. 4 hours is not so crazy. I wouldn't call 4 hours a day extreme, even though for someone who never did this, it might sound extreme. The only extreme part of that, I would say, is that if you have a big social life, it's difficult to hang out and be around people, go to restaurants. You can never eat because you're not in your window. But the aspect of only eating 4 hours a day is not very extreme, because when you do intermittent fasting, your body gets used to it. If you are the type of person that eats all day, and I tell you that you have to eat 4 hours a day, it's very extreme. But when you start at 8 hours, the 8-16 ratio, before you know it, within a week or two, you're going to go down to 7. You'll realize that 8 is no big deal. You'll want less because your body starts feeling better. You go to 7, you go to 6. I am, for example, what I try to do when I do my intermittent is between 5 and 6. So we started doing it within, I believe, 2 months. I dropped from 215 to 200 pounds. So speaking about weight loss, so one of the first things is weight loss. You don't do intermittent fasting for weight loss, or I would venture to say that you shouldn't do intermittent fasting for weight loss. Intermittent fasting is more of a lifestyle. It's not, you could use it as a tool to lose weight. You will absolutely lose weight if you're overweight and you follow intermittent fasting, the principles of it well. You will absolutely lose weight if you're overweight. But that's not the main focus of it. It literally, you'll see when you do it, that it becomes a byproduct of it. It's like, it happens to be I'm also losing weight, and that's great. You feel great. But it's not all about the weight. But you drop, and you drop quick. One of the things that's really amazing about all of this is that you learn, you realize how much we overeat. You really realize how little food your body needs in comparison to what we're giving it, and how much better you feel when you give your body the right amount of food. When you give your body the right amount of food and it burns it off, it is fascinating. And it's also disturbing, unfortunately, to come to that realization, to understand and realize how much food we eat, how much we overeat, and how we indulge in a certain lifestyle that is literally not, it's the opposite of intuitive, it's the opposite of natural, nature, evolution. It's literally the opposite of how we evolved. We are killing ourselves, not just physically because we're overeating, we're giving ourselves heart attack. We are killing ourselves, we are killing our energy, we are killing the way that we are supposed to radiate and feel every single day. And a ton of people, as they mentioned briefly here, there's so many health benefits. It's unthinkable. You have to look into this yourself. There's a growing community. You go on Facebook, a couple hundred thousand people, I think, on the group. There's a very, very big growing community around this. You can look into this yourself. People talk about how it has helped them. You wouldn't believe the type of stuff that people get helped with when they do intermittent fasting. It corrects so many parts of your body, and it manifests itself in so many positive ways. It's unthinkable. Just for myself, besides for the 15 pounds that I dropped within, like I said, a couple months, a couple weeks, maybe it was 2 months, I was able to sleep. I started sleeping. I was able to lay down on my bed. I was able to lay down and hold the video like this. Nothing. Heartburn, used to have really bad heartburn. I still have it occasionally. Heartburn went away. All of a sudden, I could sleep at night. I could breathe. Nothing's coming up. I cannot describe how good it made me feel. And I was a relatively healthy person. I am relatively healthy, fit, and in shape. if it made me feel this good for somebody that's in shape, I can't even imagine what it does to somebody who's not in shape. It's unthinkable. And go onto Facebook, Google, you know, check it out. People say the craziest stuff, health stuff. People, their pimples go away, different rashes, all kinds of weird stuff that could be happening on your body. We don't even realize how many things, how many ailments, how many sicknesses, how many things come from the food, the way we eat, the amounts we eat, and all that stuff. You start eating correctly, giving your body the right amount, and which is essentially done with intermittent. So many things get solved. Very, very fascinating. So you could eat what you want. You could eat how much you want. And what happens is, it's not the fact that you could eat what you want and how much you want. The fact is, you will start correcting yourself. It has a corrective measure. Because if when you start getting used to fasting 16 hours a day and then 17, 18, which on a side note, they say that the real burning of the food, where, you know, burning of the fat, starts happening after 17, 18 hours. So ideally, yes, you might want to start with 16, 8, but you want to move it to more like 18, 6 to start getting the real benefits of it. If you do get into it, you want to try to get down to 6 at least, because there's a certain amount of hours that have to go by before your stomach and your body starts burning fat. And it doesn't really happen until after 17, 18 hours or so. Again, I'm not being precise with the numbers. I don't give a rat's ass about the science behind it. I care about the human side of it. So if you want exact numbers, exact ratios, percentages and all that stuff, go buy the book, go read it. But it's something along those lines. You have to allow your body to burn up what you're putting into it, burn up what it has stored in it. That's a really interesting point. They also say to mix it up. Our bodies get used to patterns. So even if you're doing intermittent fasting, if you eat every single day at the same time in the same window, let's say I personally like eating from about, let's say 10 a.m. to, what do we have? 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Let's say from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. or from 11 a.m. to 4, 5 p.m. Let's say that's my sweet spot. I don't like when there's food in my body at night. I don't like, so if I finish eating at 4 or 5 p.m., by the time I go to sleep, 10, 11, 12, 1 a.m., I don't feel anything, and I like that. I also don't like eating right away in the morning, but everyone's different. Some people eat right away in the morning. They have to eat right away in the morning. Some people, the whole morning, they're good. They only eat in the evening. Everyone's different. So you can eat whenever you want. For everybody, it's essentially you have to know yourself. You have to feel it out. But whatever the case is, you don't want to do the same exact thing every single week. You want to mix it up. So maybe once a week, you switch your window and you go, let's say, for 20 hours without eating, or 24 hours without eating, a full 24 hours. And then you change the window. And then the next week, so if you buy the book or if you really get into it, they can give you examples of how to mix up the pattern. It's the concept of confusing your body. Think of muscle memory almost. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's a similar type of notion. Your body gets used to any pattern, even if you're doing intermittent, and then it gets comfortable and again, and it can start storing and start doing things that you don't want it to do. You want your body to keep on guessing when it's getting food, but you also always want to give it food so that it knows that it could burn food. It's essentially, you're telling your body, you don't have to store food. I got you. You're covered. You're going to get food. And you're waiting these periods to let it burn and give it, let it burn and give it. And you're like essentially reprogramming your body, which is really fascinating. All in all, I mean, what is my impression? My impression of it is that it's phenomenal. I will say, I mean, the reality of it is difficult. Before I moved here to Israel, I was moving around a lot. I wasn't on a schedule. I would say straight up that if you're not very settled in a home with a schedule, it's very difficult. It's difficult to be a bachelor, to move around a lot, to do things like that and keep to an intermittent fasting schedule. It's also very difficult if you're very busy, because if you're very, very busy at work and different things, as we know, you could go hours without eating. So even if you're doing intermittent fasting, you could find yourself, you went 5 hours without eating. What happens if you're in your window? You eat your breakfast, and then you get so busy, 6 hours go by, you forgot to eat, you were busy. now you're out of your window already. So in this sense, I find it very difficult. So I myself had fallen off and I'm kind of on and off. Now that I'm really settling in, I'm picking back up on it. But look, you don't have to do it your entire life. You could do it, you know, every other year for 6 months. It's very healthy. It has a ton of health benefits. But practically speaking, it really depends on what your life looks like. If you're very, very, very like a scheduled person, very principled in the way you go about your day and everything's always relatively the same, you'll have a very easy time following it, or a much easier time following it. If you're moving around a lot, going out a lot, or you're a bachelor and you don't know where you eat every day, then it could be more difficult. In any case, I find that intermittent fasting and intuitive eating work really well together. They could really, really complement each other. It seems harder than it is on the outset. The fact is, within a matter of weeks, your body really gets used to it. It gets used to surviving off of the right amount of food, the way that your body feels. The people talk about the energy that they have when they're fasting. It's unthinkable. I don't want to get into all the dynamics of it. We're already close to an hour in. There's so much to it. But I could just say that I've tried it, I'm trying it, I lost weight, I feel great when I do it. When I stop doing it, because I fall out of these patterns when I'm busy, I feel worse. I literally feel better, I have more energy, feel better when I do it. And it's not like very hard, like a Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av fast, which by the way is not hard at all if you're a person that does intermittent fasting. If you're used to doing intermittent fasting, a Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur is a walk in the park. The reason it's not hard like that is because you get to drink. So it's not like you're deprived and you're dry and none of that. You walk around, you're down liters all day. You just don't put food in. I guess I could end with this. I will say that for myself, the biggest, one of the most beautiful parts, the most spiritual parts, is that it made my relationship with food completely different. I wasn't happy essentially with my relationship with food, the way that I interacted and felt about food, the way that food nourished me and the gratification I got from it, the health benefits. I had a, you know, I'm not shy to say I had a bad relationship with food. It sounds weird, maybe for someone who's young, but as you get older, you have to have a good relationship, but you have to feel happy about what you're putting in your body. It has to make sense and it has to make you feel good thereafter, nourishing you and allowing you to go about your day. I did not have a good relationship with my food. Intermittent fasting allows me to have a completely different relationship with food, a very, very healthy relationship with food. It helps me appreciate food. When I eat food, I enjoy the taste of it. I enjoy every bite. It's a completely different world. So what I would say is, if you're at that point where you're fed up with your relationship with food, you're fed up with how you feel, how you look, how your body functions, what you're eating, how the food is making you feel and all that stuff, look into it. It's certainly so much better than, I would say, diets and anything that is restrictive and restraining, so on and so forth. In any case, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless.